Page 266, we are in the halachas of Kibbuy on Yom Tov, Siman Tov Kuf Yudalet, towards the end of Siv Gimel. We discussed yesterday the halachas of extinguishing the candle on Yom Tov. And the halacha is as follows. I think you mentioned it. I believe it was you. Are you allowed to put the candle in a place where the wind blows? So the halacha follows, yes, you can. Yes, you may. You may place the candle in a place where the wind is going to blow it out. Avol, but also l'amido isham, but you may not place it there. Im kvar ruach menashev, if you know that currently the wind is blowing, you may not put it there. So, if you see the wind is blowing at this moment and time, you may not place the candle there because that's not considered indirect. That is pretty much direct. Would you agree with that? If you put the flame in a place, you put the candle where the wind is blowing, that's a direct action of kibbuy, extinguishing the fire. It's as if you put it, yeah, if the window is open, you're putting the flame there, obviously it's going to get extinguished. However, if you're putting, you've got this very accurate knowledge that the wind will be blowing in 18 minutes and 36 seconds. You just know, because you've just been in touch with the Met office. Have I told you once my experience with them? Did I once tell you? I called the number. Did I tell you once? Do you know the story? So I was on holidays and I wanted to know, I was in a certain place, and I just don't know if it's worth going to outing or not. It was in Wales, because it was raining, and I just wanted to know, is it going to cease to rain? Is it just a shower? Or will it just continue raining? And I didn't know. So I called up the Met office. They're ever so helpful. There's no queue. You can just call up and they answer straight away. The Met office, yeah.
Is there a real person to get a robot?
No, you speak to a person, to a very sure person. It's called the Met office. I don't know. They answer calls, Met office. So you call them up, and then I always call them up and ask, you know, what's going to be. So I give the postcode, and they're experts. They really know what that. So, and I say, yeah, describe the weather. And they say, no, there's no rain. There's no rain. So I say, yeah, I'm asking about, will it be raining later? No, there's no rain. I say, yeah, because I'm asking because it's raining now. I don't know if it's going to stop. He said, no, it's not raining. It's not raining now. It's not raining. I said, no, but I am actually in that particular place already now, and I can see that it's raining. I don't know what's going to be. Is it going to stop or is it going to continue? No, it's not raining now. I can see, she says, I can see explicitly on the screen, it's not raining. Yeah. So anyway, so if you've got that kind of, very precise information, you know it's going to be windy. So then the halacha is you may put the candle there. Why? Why? What's the difference that if it's currently windy, you may not place the candle there? However, if it's currently still and you know it will be windy, perhaps you live in Manchester and you know it's gonna be windy, and then you may place the candle there. What's the difference? Gomer, explain what's pshat. Very good. So the words of the Shtibuens have gotten Chofez as follows. Top of the page. Reutzeloima, meaning, so that's in Sif Kotten Chofhei. Reutzeloima, meaning, Sheyochoil Lishloit Chiovoid, the wind may blow in future. Vetama et, and the reason why this is permitted is as follows. Mishum, because the Eino le Gram Kibui Be'alma, it is only a. What's Gram? How should we translate Gram? What's the.
Causative.
Call? Causative?
Indirect.
How would you call it in the legalistic world?
Inadvertent cause, yeah.
Okay, inadvertent cause. Alright.
Indirect causation.
Okay. Benjamin Yaakov, is he meant to stay dark like this? Is that normal? I just don't know if it's gonna.
It's the weather forecast.
Yeah, it's gone. Right, okay, so is it indirect cause? So that's what Mishnah says. Tamet Mishum de Einol Gram Kibui Be'alma. It is an indirect cause of extinguishing, which is permitted.
Even though it's going to happen in 10 minutes.
So the Mishnah continues. Maybe that's your point. Some late authorities are more stringent in this matter. B'chol rega v'rega ruach min ha'shev. No, the wind blows constantly. So he says that. He said, no, you can't be lenient. He says, not consider the.
It's not a gram contact.
Yeah.
It's actually direct.
Yeah.
So if it would be gram, they agree.
Yes.
So that's a double process, it seems to be.
That the wind is considered.
The gram is a mutter.
Yeah, but if it's blowing now, then it's not considered the gram.
Why is that so muskum that gram is mutter?
Gram kibui on Yom Tov is mutter. That it's considered quite in that it's considered very indirect, because all you're doing you're not causing the wind to blow.
No,
it's a very very light.
The place where the melacha will happen.
Yeah, but you're not supporting the melacha. You're not making any way the wind to blow. You're not involved in that. So now the Mishnah continues. Mitamzeh, therefore, aminek b'leil yom tov she'en lekhin aneiros. The custom is on. The nights of Yom Tov, you may not take the candles from shul to the beisam to their houses. Like you'll do on Matzah Shabbos, you'll stick it into the earth, onto the ground, as discussed yesterday. Again, the sand will cover it up, as we discussed yesterday. Once you put it in the earth, the sand will cover it up. That's fine. Okay, we continue to see Dalit. So the meaning of here was, one second before we proceed, that you, on Yom Tov, they would bring the candles into a place from the shuls. They didn't want the shuls to have the light burning on the whole Yom Tov. So what you do is you take the... They would take, and that's also, they would take the candles out of the shul and put it in a place where the wind is going to blow out, and you're not allowed to do that. They didn't want the whole wax to get... to go down over the night of Yom Tov. Okay. Siv Dalet. Nei shekov v'rotzi ladliko b'yoyim. If you have got a neir, a candle, shekovah, which could extinguish, v'rotzi ladliko b'yoyim, you want to light it again, b'yoyim on that day, so it got extinguished, and you want to rekindle it, muta lachte roish hapsila, you're allowed to cut the end of the wick, kadesh yinoach ledolek, that should be burning nicer and better. The burnt end of the wick. Is there a word for that? How was it? Was it called the burnt?
Stub.
Is that what it's called? The stub?
The wrong meaning.
Okay, the burnt bit. The stub?
The singed end.
Alright, the singed sounds good. So the singed, now I've got a singed part of the wick, and I want to, it's hard to, well, my experience is that it's actually easier to rekindle it, but.
That isn't a Gemara.
Yeah, and that's what the meaning is, that us men, we prepare the psilla for our wives to light, because it's, we want to make it easier for them to. So the question is, for some reason the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch assumes that it's easier to light a wick which is cut off rather than the singed part. So if it got extinguished, you want to cut off the so that you can kindle it afterwards again. Are you allowed to cut it off on Yom Tov? Or not? Tikkun mana question. Tikkun mana, yes.
Tzorich
Yom Tov. Absolutely, that's exactly the question. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Neishakov v'roitzi ladliku b'biyoyim." If this candle got extinguished, and you want to rekindle it on Yom Tov, you want to relight on Yom Tov. Mutar, you're allowed to lachtoch to cut roish apsila, the edge, the end, the cinch part of the wick. Kedei in order sheinoch ledolek, that it should be easier to light it again. You're allowed to do that. And the Mishnah Berurah says very much as Rabbi Tepe suggests, Sivkot Chov Zain Boy B'Yom on that day. If you want to do it for tomorrow, which is not Yom Tov, Afilah Yom Tov, or even for the next Yom Tov, also it's going to be also. However, for that very day, Sefkot and Chavches, Lach Tichosh HaPsila Kloima, HaPsila Nifsref is meaning the burnt end of it, V'loi Choshev, this is not considered, Tikken Moneh, fixing of the candle, Pameshe Meseh HaKecheles, it's not considered Tikken Moneh, you'll have to do that, HaVolach Tich Beklim Meguf HaPsila Mistabod also, yeah, it's he allows it. Now, the Shulamah continues. V'shuri Hashem and the Pesilim Mutorin Afilu b'Yom Tov Achas Shabbos Oshnei Yom Tovim Shlosh Hashana. The what about the leftovers? Are they the leftovers of the oil? Are you allowed to use them? Leftovers of the oil. You're not to use if you want to use them again. Are they mukta? Are they? Oh. So yeah, yeah. So here is the halacha: Shurei Shemen Repsila, the leftovers wick of oil, mutarin are permitted to be used. Afilu b'Yom Tov, even on Yom Tov, Achas Shabbos after Shabbos, Oishnei Yom Tov Shloshana, today's Yom, today's Rosh Hashanah, you are allowed to reuse and recycle the partially used oil or wick. Mishnah Berurah Sefkot and Chof. That's an interesting question. If they've been designated, then you can't. I don't remember the halacha. If it's not specifically designated. Yeah, the question is if it's stam, if it automatically becomes hukzah mitzvah. Because really the leftovers have never been designated. You've never actually designated the leftovers. I don't remember the halacha. I don't remember the halacha. This excludes your opinions. The Shvirlu who hold the Imkavu b'Shabbos, the ones that hold, his opinions are old, and if you extinguish on Shabbos, also, you're not allowed to let Liko to rekindle it. Achkach b'Yom Tov and Yom Tov. V'chen nitzim l'inkavu b'Yom Tov Rishon, Shkosh Rishon, Oslo Liko b'Yom Sheni. Others hold as well, that if you go extinguish on Yom Tov, first day, you're not allowed to kindle it on the second day. K'mash Melon, over here we learn, to show that it's permitted. So yes, so we hold that leftovers is permitted to the leftovers permitted to use. Now, Rabbi Isai, we're moving on to Zifei, which is the following halacha: Ne'er Shel Batola, a light which is Batola, which is basically what's a Ne'er Shel Batola? It's a candle which is not used for any particular purpose. Why would you light a candle for no particular purpose? That's what Shulchan Aruch says: Ne'er Shel Batola, Tainu She'en Tzorich Loi. If you're just lighting a candle for no particular purpose, I don't know why you're doing it.
Well, you're not. Meaning it's not designated for something.
Okay.
It's stam.
Stam, yeah. Yeah.
It's not right. I mean, why would you do that? That's the question.
Let's see Shulchan Aruch, and maybe we're going to be able to define this a bit. She'en tzorich lo, also ladlik, you're not allowed to light it. Avol shel beis hakneses. You're not allowed to light a candle for no purpose. Avol, but shel beis hakneses, if it's a shul light, loy choshev shel batola, is not considered shel batola. V'mut ladliko, you're allowed to candle, you're allowed to light it. Afilu b'yom tov sheni, achamin chivin on the second day after second yom tov after mincha. Ve'ein bozeh mishum mechin lechol, that's not considered achona. Shel batakosi ish mitzvah le'oyser shor, because for that particular time there is a mitzvah of lighting it, because even it's for some time, only limited time, but it's still purpose in it. So I want to just address that. I always get chizik. I've got one of the few. I everybody's got his meshugas. You know, everybody's. Somebody once told me a very good word many years ago. I heard from someone talking about chacham. Everybody's a little bit meshuga. The question is how well you hide it. Mm-hmm. So true. This is so true. Do you agree with that? Yeah. Everybody's a little bit meshuga. The question is how well you hide it. Yeah. The question is how well are you able to hide it? This is so true. Some people hide it very well. Some less so. But everybody's got it. So one of my many Meshugasen is that I very much like antiques. I really, really like antiques. It's a bit of a soft spot. I can't afford it, but I really do appreciate, I value them very much. So one of the few items I've got, when I went to Hungary, I think it was last time I went to Hungary, which is a few years ago, I found a machza, no less, which is a size, I'm not exaggerating, it's probably that size machza. Yeah, well, it's probably, I've seen it much, it's much bigger than, it's huge, it's a chazan edition of a, with what makes it particularly valuable to me is that I don't know musical notes at all, as I'm sure you can tell. But there's musical notes there for the chazan. He made musical notes there, musical notes. And it says, you know, how kol nidre and everything, and it's the extras, and it's really fascinating. It's such a huge, it's literally that big. I found it in an ancient shul in Hungary, and I was browsing around. There was no yid living there anymore, not one yid. Shul, an enormous shul, 2 Ezra's Noshim floors. It's enormous, absolutely enormous shul. Yeah, very much so. There used to be 20,000 yid in there. 20,000 in there. There's not one either. The person who's in charge, no, there's one person who's in charge there, who's a guy, no less, very respectful, everything. He took me around, and he took me to the shul as well, which is actually not allowed to go there anymore because it's literally bricks falling down, very, very literally, bricks falling down. And I roamed around there a little bit. It was really scary because also the floor was literally falling in. The wooden floor. It was a very interesting experience. Layers and layers of dust, and there, as I was roaming around, I saw a machsa, which is some 120-130 years old, which was the shul machsa, and I asked him, can I take it? And he said, he wanted a bit of money, but I allowed myself to, it wasn't much, so it's literally, you know, $10 did the trick, and it's like the communist years.
When did you go to Hungary?
I went a few years ago, half term once.
Was it near the town where your family
was? Yes, it was actually. It was, yeah, my great grandfather was over that shul. So, my great grandfather was over that shul. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, my grandfather's father, yeah. Pardon? No, that's from the other side, but yes. So why am I mentioning this? Because there, as you page through it, you can see on the machzor, you can see wax stains, which of course tells us that's the way it was. I was wondering why was it wax stains, you know, on the Havdalah page in my study, in our home, in the city, use our home, there was a wax stain by the Havdalah. But why on earth will there be by Kol Nidre wax stains? And the answer is because that's what they had. It was, you know, the shuls had no electricity. So, yeah, I got wax stain on your
wax stain on Simchas Torah, the lights didn't go on.
Right, there you go.
We had candle at dinner.
Pardon?
Did the Rebbe use it up here for dinner?
I don't know, I don't take it out of the house.
You're taking out the whole room?
Exactly, no, I don't take it, that's right, I don't take it out of the house. I don't take it out of the house.
Do you need a mask because of all the dust?
Yeah. So that's the story of that. So I'm just saying that I'm reminded of those generations. It's amazing. What's very, very inspiring as well, you can see some names there. It's very interesting. The Chazan obviously was asked to daven for some cholim. So some names. These people must be nifta some 100 odd years or something. Yeah. There's other things about Amachsa. It's a fascinating. It really is very interesting, Amachsa. So just to summarize what we learned this evening. We learned about the... you're not allowed to take a candle in a place where the wind inevitably blew out the candle. That's awesome. If you think that it may or may not happen, you may place it there. But if it's currently blowing already, you may not take the can in a place where it's going to get for sure. Now, we learned that to cut off the edge, the singed part of the wick, you'd have to cut it off if you want to recandle on Yom Tov. Leftovers can be used, both of oil and of the wicks. You're not allowed to just light a candle stump randomly, you're not allowed to, but if it's a shul one, you're allowed to light a shul candle over and over again, because it's respectful to have a shul which is very, very lit. Okay, gentlemen, having said that, I wish you a very, very good evening, and perhaps even more importantly, a very, very good Yom Tov. And hopefully the wind will not blow out, not the candles, and not the schach, and not the roof, and we're able to sit in the sukkah gesundheit, and enjoy a very, very nice Yom Tov, Be'ez Hashem. I wish you all a very, very good Yom Tov, and indeed a very nice Chol HaMoed, and a nice Simchas Torah. However, Simchas Torah will be celebrated. That remains to be. But yeah, the kids should have a very gesund Yom Tov, and a geschmack Yom Tov, and a lichtigen Yom Tov to all.